I know you don't smoke weed. I know this. But I'm going to get you high today. Because it's Friday. You ain't got no job. And you ain't got shit to do.
Y'all know that song. I don't have to tell you about that song right there, because Fridays is my holiday. Should be a lot of y'all holiday as well. Internet knowledge, I see y'all out there in the chat room. Thank you for joining us today. 8325, I see you also. Yeah, I know who you are. I know who you are. All right, as I was mentioning before, today we have a special guest with us in the house. Mr. Thomas Bryant, inspirational artist, and he has a CD out, and the CD is called Restoration, And man, I'm telling you, I looked at this video for this CD. Man, it is hot. I'm telling you, it is hot. So we're going to be talking to him today as well as we're going to do our regular Freedom Friday thing. You know, we're going to talk about what we're going to talk about. All right. So y'all get ready for a great show. You know, going to get that cup of Joe, that afternoon cocktail or whatever else you're dealing with. And sit back, relax, and let's get it on. All right. Now, man, I'm telling you, I done got hyped all of a sudden. All right. We will introduce to you right now Mr. Thomas Bryan.
Good afternoon, everyone. I just want to say I'm excited to be here today with Mr. Eric Jackson. I'm just looking forward to seeing how this unfolds today.
All right. Yeah, Thomas, tell us about the CD and how did you come about making the CD?
Well, absolutely. A couple of years ago, Eric, I was had recently deployed from Iraq, and one of the things that I wanted to do was to just say thanks to my fellow comrades, brothers and sisters who wear the uniform. I had appeared on a BET Sunday's Best Season 4, and I had relocated from Fort McPherson, Georgia, to Sumter, South Carolina, and I was getting my hair cut in the barbershop, and my new barber was like, "So what do you do, Tom?" I said, "Well, I sing. You know, my guy next door is a producer. Matter of fact, let me stop and go get him." So he comes over. "Yeah, I recognize you. So hey, get through getting your hair cut, come see me."
Mm-hmm.
And so I went and sat down with him. So I was explaining to him what it was I was trying to do. I wanted to write a song that would be an inspiration to service men and women past and present, and kind of talk about what we've been enduring for the past 10, 12 years in Operation Iraq and enduring freedom.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of wrote down, he got on a pen and pad, and he said, "Okay, Tom, just talk to a man."
Right.
And it all came to fruition, so I'm hoping that it would be an inspiration to all.
All right. That's what I'm talking about right there. Y'all hear that? Inspiration. See, for us veterans, we know something about it. Now, where can it go and find the video or the CDs?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You can purchase the CD on iTunes, Amazon, CD Baby, and Rhapsody. Also, if you want to see a still picture video, the video Fall on My Knees, you can go to YouTube and type in the title of the song, which is Fall on My Knees. Hit your space bar and type my name, Thomas Bryant. It'll pull up. The Fall on My Knees or Soldier Story. So I think it, as they say, a picture is worth a thousand words. If you get a chance, go out there on YouTube and take a look at it.
All right. That's what I'm talking about. And you know, we're going to use that lead into the day, and we're going to play Fall on My Knees as the song of the day. So without further ado, y'all, he is Thomas Bryant with Fall on My Knees.
Thomas Bryant, who solemnly affirms that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, and that I will obey the orders of the President of the United States and the orders of the Office of Foreign Affairs, according to the regulations, uniform code of military justice. So help me God. To
All right, y'all, that was Thomas Bryan and Fall on My Knees. Man, that song there is hot. I don't care what y'all say. That song is hot right there. Now, if you want to talk to Mr. Bryan, he'd be here the whole show. Just give me a call, 347-838-8622. Or you can email me. You can email me also at ericlesstalk@gmail.com. And then the chat room is open. And just go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Eric Jackson 62. Or just do the www.blogtalkradio.com and go to a little search engine, put in Mr. Talk, all one word, bam, and you're in the chat room. So those are the ways you can participate in the show today. And you know what? Bring it on. The lines are open. Well, while we're waiting for y'all to make up your mind. Now, Thomas, I want to ask, how hard was it to get to that point to where you get your CD done and make it work for you?
And that's a good question, Eric. I would submit I didn't realize the amount of hours and participation, actually the amount of work that it takes to do this.
Mm-hmm.
But once I was able to get into the studio and find out it's really not that difficult. It was just something that took getting used to.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of fell into it. He made me feel comfortable in the studio. And but I'm so glad that he was able to fulfill a dream of mine for so long that I've always been one to record my own music.
And mm-hmm.
to see that come to fruition has just been a blessing.
Great, great. Now, see, and that's what I'm talking about. You know, because we have so many of our young people out there today, they want to be musicians or rap stars, but they don't realize what goes into it, you know?
You know, I would submit to all of the up and coming artists that are out there that may be listening this afternoon, it's a lot of hard work. And you think you're just going to walk into a studio, put a headset on, and start singing. That is not the case. So,
number one, you have to be able to sing.
That's true. That's true. So,
that has a lot to do with it. Oh, wow.
I would definitely like to give a special shout out. I'm glad you brought that up, Eric, to the guy who helped produce my music, Mr. William Jones, a.k.a. Bo Jones, out of Sumter, South Carolina. I want to give a special shout out to him this afternoon.
All right. We're going to show him some love. Yeah. Yeah, we're going to show him a little love. All right. Oh, that's all right. Now, once again, if you have any questions for Mr. Bryant, just give us a call, 347-838-8622. You know, his song, we just played the song of the day, and it's hot, man. I'm telling you, that song is hot. You can go to YouTube and find it on YouTube. He's also on iTunes, correct?
iTunes and Amazon and CD Baby and Rhapsody.
Right. So, you know, hey, check it out, man. I'm telling you, it's hot. All right, so we got the song of the day out the way. It's time for the quote of the day. And y'all know, you know, this quote is kind of good today. Y'all know I be getting some deep ones, don't I? Here's the quote of the day. When someone tells you you've changed, it might simply be because you've stopped living your life their way. Y'all got that? Did y'all get that out there? Huh? What y'all think about that? That's a deep one there, huh?
That's a pretty deep quote there.
That's a pretty deep quote. I mean, it makes sense. It makes sense. You've changed. How many of y'all out there been told you've changed? Ooh, I don't know. You done changed. Yeah, because I stopped listening to your bull crap, and I don't want to be bothered with you no more. I finally got my life together. All right, y'all, I know I don't say it like that, but y'all get the gist of it. You know, once you realize that you live in somebody else's life, and you come to your senses and change the way you're living. Yeah. And me and Thomas was in here before we came on the air talking about that kind of thing. You know, living beyond your means and, you know, just trying to hang out with the Joneses. You know, some of y'all not prepared to do that. But you're going to try anyway, right? Right. But anyway. What? Pianki, what are you talking about now? You change sounds like hood lingo. Okay, whatever, Pianki. Mm-hmm. We done told you, man. You're on a different level. We don't even like to deal with half the time. Go on now. Go on. All right? Oh, my goodness. See, Thomas, that it's going to get worse. That's Pianki. Pianki, he's a regular, and, you know, yeah. I think he's talking about me, Mr. Talk. Oh, okay, knowledge. All right. Now, once again, let's get on with the show. The house rules for those that call in, act as an adult. That's all I'm going to say. And no personal attacks. Everybody know, I have a certain word I don't allow on the show. And, you know, for those that don't know, it's the N-word. Don't say it on my show because you will get booted. You know what I mean? Oh, here's Pianki tripping. But anyway, so, you know, when you call in, act as an adult. You'll be treated as an adult. But if you come in throwing haymakers, expect to get haymakers thrown back. I'm not giving you a standing eight count. You got to take your blows like the rest of them, all right? All right. All right. Now, oh, he is already. Okay. Hello, Mr. Pianki. What's going on?
Today, Friday, don't make too much noise. You want to track those other bad people.
Whatever, Pianki. That's what you call to say.
Well, I have a lot of things that I have anything we could speak on. The weather is real nice, cool. For a change.
You know what? You about to
I think it's snowing in September.
Okay. Well, I don't live where it snows, so that has nothing to do with me, Pianki. Is there any question you have for Thomas here? You know, I don't know what you do.
What does Thomas specialize in?
Huh?
What does Thomas specialize in?
Well, actually, Pianki, I'm glad you asked. I sing just about every genre of music out there, gospel, country, R&B, blues, but I get my most inspiration through gospel music.
Oh, I was going to ask you to sing some reggae.
And you know what? I probably could do it, but probably not today. I apologize.
Oh, okay.
Oh. Out of all things, reggae.
Hey, reggae is good music.
What are you sipping on? What are you sipping on?
Reggae is good music, man. Buju Banjan.
Okay. Okay. All right. Anyway. Oh, is that's all you have to ask of Mr. Bryant before we go on with the story?
Go ahead with the story. I mean, it sounds like it's going to be interesting.
Whatever. Okay. You know what, Pim? You're not going to get to me today.
You know what I want to ask you? Did you go on Ebony's? Was you singing on Ebony's show last night?
No, I was not singing on Ebony's show.
Oh, okay. I heard you said you was going there.
Yeah, I went there, but no, I was not singing on there. You know, I showed Ebony support. She showed me support, so I go back. And what the hell? What does that have to do with it anyway?
Well, the relationship show, and I thought maybe you might have done one of those outside the window mock-ups since you was going to get hooked up with somebody you never met in the UK.
No, Pianki, I'm in a relationship. No, we're not doing that. Okay?
Oh, okay.
All right. All right. Here's the story. E. Claude Clay Shaw Jr. on minimum drug sentences says they may have overreacted. Now, this guy was the author of the Anti-Drug Abuse Act of 1986 that imposed mandatory minimum penalties for drug crimes. During an interview, that Congress may have overreacted in passing the law. It said the bill was drafted at a time when crack cocaine started popping up like crazy. Now, y'all know why it started popping up like crazy, right? It started hitting the wrong communities. But anyway, he admitted he had never heard of the drug before then and noted that crack at the time was preferred by the least affluent. Yeah, y'all. Y'all know what that means? Us in the black community, the low-income people. You know, he also went on to say it's like welfare reform. He said, we looked at it as a rescue mission, not as a source of punishment. Now, I'm going to start right there with this story. When in the heck has being put in prison as a rescuing someone? Y'all please help me understand this. When has that ever happened? You know, you're behind bars, you're behind bars. Who's being rescued? Please tell me. What did you think about that, Thomas?
Well, I tell you, I haven't seen that. A witness in my lifetime. I don't know where they may have come up with that one.
Oh, wow. You know, that falls on the same line as Oregon, the story about Oregon yesterday, talking about they're going to rehabilitate the owners of the bakery because they didn't want to make a cake for a gay couple.
Really?
Really. Really. And so, you know, you just... It's crazy like this, but, you know, and this is, for those who don't know, this is in reference to the minor drug charges that they come up with and put people in prison behind, and it's just filling up the prison system. So now they're thinking about looking at another way instead of putting all of them behind bars. So this guy here was saying at the time that they created this law, you know, it was they thought they were rescuing people instead of punishing them. Now, I don't know how, because most of the people behind bars for drugs, especially, you know, low, you know, nothing serious, is black folk, black children, kids. You know, yes, I
that's
know
the way it was
fans,
with
the...
That's the way it was with Roe versus Wade, too, with abortion.
Okay.
They thought abortion. They thought it was too many of us, or you know who.
Uh-huh. And so that made it okay.
That was one of the reasons why one of the Supreme Court justices
mm-hmm.
thought it was okay to pass it.
Okay. All right.
One of the females on the bench too.
Oh, okay. All right. Sounds like fun. Okay. But anyway, back to the story. You know, and this is followed. Attorney General Eric Holder called for sweeping systematic changes, saying mandatory minimum penalties often result in unduly harsh sentences. When applied indiscriminately, they do not serve public safety. They and some of the enforcement priorities we have set have had a destabilizing effect on particular communities, largely poor and of color, and applied inappropriately, they are ultimately counterproductive. And that's what the holder said there. You know, the general, the attorney general that you really do not like, Bianchi. Are you there?
Yeah, I posted that in the chat room. It says,
Ginsburg.
Yes, Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, quoting her, said, frankly, I had mm-hmm. thought that at the time Roe was decided, there was concern about population growth and particular growth in population that we don't want to have too many of.
Mm. So what you're saying is there's basically a agenda, a movement about to stop certain groups of people from repopulating.
Yeah, to control the population of blacks.
Why the blacks? Why not the Hispanics? Why not the Mexicans?
Hispanics wasn't a population problem back in 1972.
Oh, okay. And we didn't, they didn't, okay, I see. They didn't pose a threat to anyone then. Right?
Right. Black population haven't moved too much at all since, percentage-wise, since 73.
Okay. All right. Interesting thought process. You got anything to add to that, Thomas?
No, it's quite a topic. I'm sitting back enjoying the dialogue on that.
Yeah. Well, Bianchi, you know, as we often say, you know, sometimes you got to sit back and do your research on it. You know what I mean? But a lot of people don't know that. You know, there's actually one thing we actually agree on, Bianchi. Ain't that something?
What, doing research?
Yeah, doing research. Bianchi, what are you doing? You breathing kind of hard there.
Says Margaret Sanger said that birth control must lead ultimately to a cleaner race, quote unquote.
Mm. Yeah, I see that. Wow.
So I guess my question to you, Mr. Bianchi, if the information that you're on with the wonderful knowledge of that, how would you take that information and apply it to our community where it'll be received?
Well, it has been applied. I don't know if I pay no attention to it. They've done documentaries and everything else. One very popular documentary is called Ma'afa 21.
And what's the gist of the documentary?
It talked about how the number of black babies that have been aborted at the rate of 1,200, some people say up to 1,700 per day, or with 18 million since 1973. It shows some instances where they recorded a telephone call where this white guy called into a birth control clinic and said he wanted to donate money to the clinic. And the lady said, oh, fine, that would be nice. And he said, I want it to be used specifically for black women who don't have enough money for abortion. Is there a problem with this? They say, oh, no, there's no problem. We can make sure.
Wow. And what city was this in?
It's in the documentary.
Oh, okay. All right.
Maffa 21. MAAFA 21.
I'm going to have to go and look that one up. That sounds like a very interesting article. I mean, documentary. But, Bianchi, so
yeah.
Listen, I know where you're trying to go at with this, so I'm going to go on and get there with you. So, how do we stop it? How do we stop all this aborting our unborn?
Well, we need to address the problem that nobody wants to address.
And that is?
And that's the problem of economics as applied to black and black African-American people in the populations that they reside in. They don't control it. You don't have nothing for your kids to do. They come up with all sort of reasons to get caught up in crime and to indulge in self-destructing activities, self-destructing behavior.
Well, so, Bianchi, is it safe to say that the spirit of familyness and familyhood in the black community has diminished since the early 70s?
Oh, most definitely it has. But the women then were stay-at-home moms because men were working, and they brought home, quote-unquote, the bacon. I would have to search high and low to find a household that was hit by a single woman. I only knew of one. That lady's name was Bernadette. She wore tight pants.
Okay. Well, what did that have to do with anything, Bianchi?
That was just her attire.
Oh, okay. You just had to throw the tight pants in there just because, though.
And make it interesting.
Okay, I understand. All right, y'all. This is Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk. And with me today in the studio, I have Mr. Thomas Bryant, an inspirational singer. He has appeared on Sunday Best, and his song, Fall on Your Knees, was the song of the day. And if, you know, you have any questions for him, just give me a call, 347-838-8622. He'll be here with me for the whole show. So, come on. Or just call in and join the conversation. Hey, we'll be here. at least until 4 p.m. Central. So, let's get it going, y'all. Hey, I want to say East Coast, what's up? I see you out there, man. Ebony, I see you holding. All right. So, Thomas, you know, I hate to put you on the spot right there.
Not a problem. But
how do you feel about things such as abortion? You know, I hate to put you out there, but I.
Well, how do I feel about abortion?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I will submit to you. I think what it boils down to, when a woman is her choice, if we would practice abstinence, I don't think the word abortion would even come into play, especially when we have all of the birth control measures out there. And I can understand if an individual was raped or whatever the case may be, and, mm-hmm. and they see fit to abort the child out of either rape or incest or things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're out there and having unprotected sex and you have a, because of your activities, you become impregnated. And you, as they say in the old days, you got caught slipping, and you want to try to get rid of the child because so you got caught up, as they say. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's the right reason to abort a child. Mm-hmm. That's my personal opinion.
Okay. Now, even if the child is coming into, let's say, a bad situation, where the mother's going to be a single mother and already have about 3-4 kids and.
Well, see, I think that that's kind of what I was alluding to earlier. I think the habits of the people have to change, the mindset,
mm-hmm.
Knowing it, okay, why would you bring a child into a situation where you feel that economically you might not be able to take care of the child and
right.
Be responsible enough to... that's the key word, being responsible.
Right.
And I think that eliminate a lot of these issues that we have in America today.
Hmm. All right. See, Thomas go on the go here. What you about to say, Bianchi? Besides all that stuff, you know, Thomas, like that. Huh?
I was going to ask Thomas, do he consider himself as an African-American person of African descent?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you, Bianchi. I'm from Silver Creek, Mississippi. I've been to Africa. But I consider myself an American. And I think that's one of the things we get caught up here in America. We love to put labels on people. And we started out as black, Negro.
Your ancestors did come from Africa. And being that you're from Mississippi, you have a very strong phenotypical connection with that place, with that continent, I would say.
Oh, absolutely.
And you like gospel music?
Oh, I love it.
Well, did you know that in Africa today, and of course I don't know where you would trace your DNA back to, but one place that many of us came from was Burkina Faso. In Benin, and amongst those ethnic groups, some people call them tribes, today they have a practice where a pregnant woman is pregnant and they go through a ritual where the baby in the woman's womb actually speak through the woman's mouth and tell who they are and what they're coming back for. They consider the womb as a portal for the ancestors to come back into this life. it's a tradition that they have been practicing for eons, actually maybe thousands of years. It's funny how we become disconnected from something so precious and so dear that we in a different environment where we actually turn against those things that if it wasn't practiced before we got here, maybe actually we wouldn't even be here today.
You know, you bring up a very good point, Fionke. I think we were the only race of people that came to America not on our own free will. We came in the belly of the ships during the middle passages. So, and I think when they came over, brought us from our homeland, our ancestors years ago, and they saw that we were just not walking around with bones in our nose and this and that. We come from a royalty, and they understood that if the black man or woman, whatever, reach back and take up the foundation which was established on long years ago, how powerful of a people we can be, even though we live in the United States of America.
Yeah, you know, that's true. I was talking on one program this morning to a psychologist.
Mm-hmm.
And we was getting into some discussions. I asked him, why come, we talk about people having psychiatric problems. And I made some reference to why come blacks continue to send their children to schools that has a long history of producing failures, whereas you have other black institutions that use programs where even in the public schools they don't have metal detectors in 2013, and they produce outstanding results, even more so than their counterparts. I asked him, for those who continue to do those things, is something wrong with them mentally? Are they suffering from mental illness? He said a good question.
No.
A person that continues to do things that's detrimental, they're not suffering from a mental illness, but they can take out children and put them on Ritalin and FemFem for ADHD and all that stuff.
You need to talk to the actual school boards and the state board of education about all these schools that. These tests, so-called tests that everybody has to pass before they go to the next grade. Yes, it sounded good in theory, but when the only thing being taught in the school is that test, then yeah, it limits the rate of people moving on to the next grade, because the only thing they're teaching is that test. They're not teaching any basic geometry, geography. You know, science.
Well, not in a traditional
like
school, no. As a matter of fact, since we was on the topic of Africa, it's the schools that use the African Senate curriculum in the public school, like the Malcolm X Academy in Detroit, Paul Robeson in Detroit, Chick Schools in Kansas City.
Are these charter schools?
Public schools.
You're speaking of? They're public schools.
These particular ones I just mentioned are traditional public schools.
Mm-hmm.
The Marcus Garvey Academy out there in South Central L.A., where you have children in the seventh grade taking their GED and passing their college entrance exam, carrying 19 units at 13 years old. They're using African-centered curriculums, and they're producing just like that. Of course, now we can call it a label, but it's something to it to do that.
Okay. And you say these are public schools?
Public schools, except for the last one, Marcus Garvey, is a private school.
I mean, because I really can't see a public school doing that. I mean, it sounds good.
Oh, you can't.
But
well,
no.
They do.
Not a public school. Now I can see, you know, it's like like you say, a charter school or whatever, to where they basically have control of their own curriculum.
Listen, let me say this. Chick School in Kansas City, Missouri. Kansas City, Missouri School District. You can go pull up newspaper articles on how well these students are doing. The schools in Detroit, can pull up Paul Robeson, where this was written in the Christian
and where,
Science.
Where are these schools located at in these cities? Is it in affluent areas or is it back in the hood? Are they back in the hood?
Marcus Garvey is located in South Central.
Okay.
This is how you do it. Remember that song?
Oh, Lord. All right, don't sing.
Was
please.
He talking
yeah.
about South Central?
Uh huh.
Well, you know, Pianca, you bring up.
I just happened to bring. My grandson went to African Center Schools, by the way. Frederick Douglass, which was the Council of Independent Black Institution, who back in the 1970s started their own schools after the sit ins in the universities and during the Black Power Movement, where blacks sat in the administration offices in universities like Southern Cal and I think UCLA, and they was complaining that they didn't have black history and that they wanted, and they wanted black professors to
Let me ask you a question, Mr. Pianca. The way you
yes.
speak, my man, and let me ask you a question. Do you think the when integration was implemented, do you think that's when the downfall of African-American communities began to diminish?
Well, I think that played a major part in the economic of African-American communities, yes, especially Brown versus the Board of Education back in 1954, where teachers was actually arguing that they weren't getting paid the same as white teachers. And NAACP filed a lawsuit, and actually it was a judge that came back and said that there should be physical integration rather than just addressing the problem of the much earlier decision in the Supreme Court known as Plessy versus Ferguson, where the issue was separate
mm-hmm.
but equal. See, it wasn't mm-hmm. nothing wrong with separate, because you still have separate. I mean, there's nothing wrong with separate. I mean, you have people on the right, people on the left, and you got people in the middle. But the problem was, it just was not equal.
Mm-hmm.
And they still use that same premise today, because not too long ago, maybe about a couple of years, I was listening to a talk radio show, and there was a school board member in the St. Louis Public School District. He was the only white school board member. Peter Downs was his name. Yes, Peter Downs. You know,
mm-hmm.
you notice one thing about me, Mr. Talk, that when I talk on issues or points, I usually give names and references, newspaper article where people can check so that, you know, I know some people say this just can't be true. But Peter Downs on radio station WGNU 920 AM St. Louis said that
mm-hmm.
whites would never provide all black schools with the necessary things where the black children can effectively compete against theirs.
Hmm. Well, let me ask you a question.
That is deep.
You, when you speak of the situation, because I was born in 1970, so I'm 43 years old.
Yeah, you still a kid.
Yeah, I know. And one of the things, Mr. Pianca, that I can remember growing up as a child were expectations were expected from us. And I grew up in a household where my mom was a stay-at-home mother, and my father worked outside the home. Indeed, now we fast forward 20, 30, 40 years, and now you got both parents, if not single parent, and she's struggling. And when you have a frustrated parent, nine times out of ten, you're going to have a frustrated kid.
Mm-hmm.
And they show up at school every day, and mom can't take off work to come up and participate in the Peaches Parent PTA meetings, and she only comes up to the school after the child either has not moved on to the next grade or has continued to get in trouble because of the situation at home. And I think charity starts at home. Mm. And I think we as a people could get back to that foundation.
That's the word.
I think we would, you will see a difference in the United States of America. We cannot put all of the blame on the teacher. When have you sat down and read a book to your child? When have the last time you sat down and had them read a newspaper article and understand if they understand what reading comprehension is all about? Can you tell me what their story is about? Can you give me an intro, body, and conclusion? And so,
I can't blame it on parents neither, because those black children that graduated from public high school just this June, the prom night was June the 15th, and June the 16th, they wake up and all of a sudden they're expected to take on responsibilities of something that they never in the previous 12 years was taught or instructed.
So why can't you blame the parents for that? Isn't that something that should have been taught to them as growing up? Say what?
Parents are not parents. They weren't taught to be parents. To become a parent is a process. It's just not something that when you turn 18 as a girl or turn 21 as a man, when you were 17, you don't have those responsibilities. All of a sudden, you're 18, you have them. When you were 20, you didn't have them. Now you're 21, you're expected to be parent and carry out civic duties that you was never instructed on. It'd be like me taking you out of the row seat in economy class and putting you in the co-pilot seat and tell you to fly the plane.
Oh, I actually can.
See, I think that's what we were trying to get to the root of the issue, Mr.
Right.
Bianchi, is you're right. That's where the breakdown of the black family is, at home.
Mm-hmm.
I would go so far as out of every 10 black families, how many sit down every evening as a family, eat a dinner meal together, discuss what went on during the course of the day, what did you do, what have you done, and you're looking your children in the eyes, see, in order to know what right looks like, to that child that's growing up, you got to show them what right looks like. And so now that you you woke up the day, okay, I've graduated from high school, what do I have to do? Now, if there were no expectations put on that child growing up, that I don't expect to do nothing or be nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead of
being
expectations
can be put on the child. We the only ethnic group that I know we want to throw all this burden on our children. That expectation is put on black society. See, schools, there's a difference between education and skills. A child's education, the curriculum of that child's education is based on their culture, their background, their traditions. Education teaches you where to do with skills. Skills supposed to be applied where you can strengthen your family, strengthen your community, strengthen your neighborhood, to control that economy in order that you can control that wealth, those dollars. Dollars are just like tools, hammers, screwdrivers, in order to apply nails and screws to build better things. But we're not doing that. So you can't say that's black society, because black society is supposed to control the schools that their children go in. They're the ones who are supposed to decide in which direction that these children of skills attainment is going in. That should be based on them being able to go out into the world and gather and grasp a part of the global marketplace. And it starts in your home. If you can't control the store at the end of your corner, Arabs do. If you can't control that which you attend to put gasoline in your tanks, Middle Easterners do. If you can't control who puts these designed clothes into your community without even asking your permission and saying, well, even though this is going to make the girls show a lot of cleavage, even though the waistline of these pants is going to be about a half inch above their pubic hair, this looked like this would be very nice for the black community. Nobody asked black people, well, is it okay to bring this, introduce this into your society? I dare you to try to do that in theirs. Children can't dictate that. That takes grown adults, responsible adults, knowledgeable adults to
now,
make sure the innocence of the child is not violated.
Where used to be in the black community, where used to be that foundation where everybody gathered on that one particular day of the week? What place was that?
Well, I'm not a believer, not a church.
That's
so I couldn't tell you. But Mr. Talk said church.
Exactly. So when they see the power of the church is no longer there.
Mm-hmm.
And some may that are listening out there may disagree with what I'm saying is that we have become a society, if it feels good, like Nike, just do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at grown men that are older than me that are walking around iced up, blinged out, wearing a FUBU and Rockaway and Sean John. How you expect little Johnny to stop lying and you lying? How you expect little Johnny to running and chasing women, and you doing the same thing? So, and it goes back to, how do I know what right looks like? And it's almost like a do as I say, do as I do.
So well, I, you know, I tell you,
facility as men to if we want to take back our community, Mr. Pianca, it starts with the man, because before the foundation of the world, God gave instructions to Adam, not Eve, and so. That is the root of the problem. We have to get back to the fundamentals. I understand that you may not believe in a higher being, but believe me, I won't knock what you believe in. But what it boils down to is this. When we live in a chaotic, every empire to date that has fallen, it failed because of immorality. And that's what's going on in the United States of America right now. If we as a people understand that we have our certain lifestyle people like to live, and it's becoming all right. It's okay that you can understand we live in the land of the free, home of the brave. But if my people who are called my name will humble themselves, then and only then, my brother, will we see a true change, because I see a modern day Sodom and Gomorrah going on in the United States of America as we speak.
Well, I can understand your point on that. And I wonder what's being taught in churches, too, because there's a church in St. Louis on the northeast corner of the intersection of Martin Luther King and Union that I passed by, people coming out. At the same time, there's a man who's digging around in the trash can, taking out an old hamburger, brushing the ants off of it, and the people coming out of church is walking all around him like he had the plague. And me being a non-believer, but I see a human being there in distress, I turn around and pull up and get out and offer the man $20 so he can go buy him something to eat. And the church people are hurrying to get home.
That's the problem within itself. And see, what we as Christians are failing to realize, see, that that building that stands on every corner in America is only a place where we go to worship. But the true church is outside the walls of the place where we have worship service to minister that brother who's digging in the garbage can looking for something to eat.
But as I said before, is that the conditions that goes on that we identify, and you know, I wanted to, you mentioned something about the label of that we put on ourselves as being African-American, black, and so on and so on. Those labels are very, very important. They're labels that even though a person don't know actually why they use that label or why they respond and gravitate to that label, it means something to them that they quite not don't understand. And it could be something that's ingrained within their DNA that from time to time it pops out. From time to time it would make chills go down their back. From time to time it may draw a tear. From time to time, it just may be something curious to them and wonder why come this moves me sometime. So blacks in the United States have all the necessary skills, Mr. Talk, the talents that they need in order to turn their situation around. For some reason or another, they just won't do it in the numbers that they should. Now, this is going on, because I have already named, when we were talking on the subject of education, I have already named some places where it's going on excellent, been going on for a long time. But as I was talking to the psychologist today, I asked him, I say, you know, we like to identify certain traits and call certain things being mental ill. I say, what is it? Is it not a mental illness when we know better and we continue to do things over and over again, continue to take our kids and place them in the hands of somebody who really are just using them as a commodity? I mean, if Thanksgiving was November the 24th, if come March the 13th, the turkey ain't done in the oven that was put in on Thanksgiving Day, wouldn't we ask, isn't something wrong with this?
Hold on, Pianki. Let me bring Vernon in. Cuz, what's going on? How you doing?
Are you lying to me?
Vernon. Are you there? Vernon? Vernon. Okay, he must be. I guess he'll come back in a minute. But I want to go back to something you were saying, Pianki, about blacks having the tools and the talent. But what about the resources? You know, that has to play a lot into it as well. You know, and it's a known fact. We don't have any resources.
Blacks have resources. I mean, if they didn't have resources, other ethnic groups wouldn't be in your community taking what you just got through describing out. I see when they do that. Go ahead.
When they do that, go ahead.
When they do that, that leaves your children to be standing at the red light intersection with cups and buckets and football helmets begging for money in order for them to be able to participate in sports activity. Mm. When they do that...
Mr. Talk's comment that we don't have resources,
I
will submit this to you. African Americans in the United States of America are the number one consumers in this country. We spend, if they said if black America would stop spending money for a day in America, that's where you make a difference. But even though we have been out of bondage, literally in chains, but we're still in bondage in the mind. We still have the Willie Lynch letter, the making of a slave mentality. And even though Mr. Willie Lynch stood on the banks of the James River in 1712, here it is, 2012, matter of fact, it's 100 years in one. And we still have that enslaved mentality, which continues to boggles my mind that we are the most imitated race in America, and yet and still we only have like 1%. We're talking 300 years. We only have 1% ownership of businesses in the United States
1%,
of America. 1%.
That 1%.
300 years later, and we still at 1%.
Wow.
We got multi-millionaire athletes, actors, and it goes back. Okay, where are we getting our influence from? Rap videos. We sit up and watch reality TV, Atlanta, Real Housewives of Atlanta, and we try to pattern ourselves after something that you may never attain. what it boils down to, where do you get your sources? Let's paint a more realistic picture of, but we still have no excuse today. They said there'll never be a black president. Guess what? That is no longer a dream anymore. The dream has been fulfilled. So, like I said, it goes back to putting expectations on our children. And I'm like the late Bernie Mac said, how old is grandmama now? 36. Hey, yeah. Grandmama 40. See, when kids are having kids, that generational mindset continues to change. Well, I grew up in the system. My mama grew up in the system. Now I'm third, fourth generation growing up on the system. Okay, when do we break out who want to do something better, want more than what maybe grandmother, grandfather may have had when they were growing up. It seemed like we're more we were more close as a people in bondage than we are ever been free.
Yep. And you know what? And I agree with that 100%. You know, I really do. It's something I say all the time on the show. I really do. But, you know, it's sad, 1%. And Bianchi had a good point also. You know, we let individuals move right into our neighborhoods, open shops and everything. You know, to take out, stores that's been there forever. You know, next thing you know, somebody else has it. It's just crazy. But, you know, sometimes you just, we have to keep fighting. And I think that's one thing. And I like the mental thing, because I said that last week, in fact, about, you know, stop always talking about what happened in slavery, what happened. I said, because the more you do that, the more you mentally put yourself into slavery. You know, and if you're up here.
We use it as an excuse not to do better.
Right. And none of us living now, for the most part, had anything to do with slavery. You know, so. But before we go any further, I want to say in the studio with me today is Mr. Thomas Bryant, y'all. And he's sitting in. He has a new CD out called Restoration. And we're going to play his song off the CD. Dang it, I forgot the name of the song. And I like the song, too. Fall on My Knees. That's the name of the song. So we're going to play that here real fast for you before we get back with the rest of the show. All right, here it is, Mr. Thomas Bryant.
Hi, Thomas Bryant. Who solemnly affirms that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same. And that I will obey the orders of the President of the United States and the orders of the Office of Foreign Affairs, according to the regulations, uniform code, and military justice.
right, y'all. That was Mr. Thomas Bryant, and he's in the studio with us today. So if you want to call in and ask him any questions, just call us up, 347-838-8622, and he'll be more than happy to answer any questions or just talk to you, period. We've been just talking with Pianki on the line, and as we always, you know, Pianki always has his knowledge there, so we sharing all that. Vernon, are you there?
What's going on, Eric?
Okay, you done stop playing. You done stop playing with whoever you were playing with, right?
Oh, man, what you talking about?
We heard you. We heard you.
Oh, yeah?
All right. Yeah.
No, that was the people in the neighborhood. What's going on, man? I didn't even know I had chimed in, man. What's going on, Eric?
Yeah, see? Yes, you did. Everybody's doing fine.
You still got Pianki on here?
Huh?
You still got
Pianki
still
here? Yeah, he's still here.
I'm kind of kicked back, enjoying some drink, listening to the show, man. What's going on with everybody? I mean, I'm chilling, man.
See, you know what? I was about to ask you that because you sure sound like it. You done asked what's happening about 8 times already. So, in the chat room. Yeah, I know. It's Friday. Yeah, I know how you do it. All facts in the chat room, and I guess this is for you, Thomas, wanted to know, ask him, is forgiveness and restoration is the same, or does restoration have anything to do with forgiveness? So, yeah.
Well, that's an outstanding question, and my personal opinion is, say, for instance, you have a friend or foe, whatever it may be, and you all been carrying a grudge for 25, 30 years, whatever the case may be. Once forgiveness, whatever the situation was, is forgiven, then the restoration process can begin. That's just my personal opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what, Mike? You know what, Mike? You're not banned. You can call in, but you know how to act, don't you? So you can call in. I know the question is a beast. Oh, Lord, there he go. I mean, it may have been a beast, but it was answered so easily. It was too easy. Wow. Mm-mm-mm. So,
hey,
Thomas, tell us why we would.
Tell Mike
what?
To call in, man. I heard you. Tell Mike to call in, man.
Well, I did already. Michael, call in.
Yeah.
Right.
Call in, Mike.
Say.
Come on in here.
That's all I'm going to say. All right, Vernon. How you going to tell a man calling you the one? Never mind. Anyway.
Don't you put that on me.
Anyway, Thomas, so what other plans do you have? Anything in the works?
Actually, in about a couple months, they're having a gospel explosion here in the Clean area.
That's right, y'all, and I'll be bringing y'all more on that as I get information.
So if you happen to be local, come out on the 19th of October. That's a Saturday evening, beginning around 7. If you want to see yours truly live and in living color, come out and support a worthy cause, the Star Group Veterans Helping Veterans, and I think it's a wonderful organization. So we're going to be raising money to give turkey dinners to the most needy in our community. So come out and be a part of a worthwhile charity event.
That's right. See, making things happen, man. And that's what you call helping the community. I know some of y'all find it kind of hard, but yes, Mr. Talk be involved in stuff like that. Anyway, Vernon.
Yes, sir.
Vernon?
Yes, sir.
Let me ask you a question. Now, I see you've been half listening to our conversations, right?
I've been listening in.
Okay. So what's going on in our community, man, in our schools, in your opinion? You know, you always
Eric.
You
know, I'm going to stick to the same thing I always say, man. It's family structure, man. I tell you this all the time, man, from what I can see. You know, I wasn't born to 1974. Mm-hmm. But from what I can see. And the history that I know about it with our people, you know, our family structure and everything just went to pot you know, after the Civil Rights Movement, man. When it seemed like after all that stuff was over with, it's like we went in the total opposite direction, man. And it affected us in every area, man. Every area.
Every area.
Everything. Uh-huh. Every aspect.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So is there any way we can bring it up, get out of it?
You know, I think, I can't remember if it was Pianki or who it was said it on the show the other day, you know, it's going to be hard to start with the people that are already adults now because they have, you know, they pretty much molded. But, you know, with the young generation, you know, starting it with those that are young and, you know, and putting this thing in them and teaching them a different kind of way is probably going to be the only way to do it. You know, I'm not saying give up on the ones that are already adults, but those are the ones that are already adults and are used to this way of living and feeling like, you know, the things that we're doing as a community and as a whole is okay. And you know, I got a bad problem with blacks depending on whites for things, man, like they owe us something. You know, I heard, I was listening to Yankee or somebody say something a while ago about, you know, do we think the whites are going to, you know, provide, you know, the blacks with the same amount of, the same kind of thing for education as they would their own people, you know, to have us on the same level they are. I mean, why would we even depend on them for that? We got enough blacks and everything that are smart and intelligent. And, you know, we've been black, and when we didn't have anything, we had more black inventors than anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, black people use their minds. We can still use our minds. We don't need people to help us, man. We need to get away from that. We 50 years away from the civil rights movement, 50 some odd years away from the civil rights movement, and now we still sitting here looking and waiting on the whites. And I'm believe me, Eric, I'm not against white people. I'm just against our black community way of thinking when it comes to thinking of feeling like white people owe us something, and we got every opportunity that we need to go out there and get what we need, man. You know, we complain about everything. We complain about the big rich man and what he got and what he don't do for people in this right here. But guess who's helping making the white people rich? We don't build our own businesses and buy in our own community, and then we go over to the white people and then we make them rich. Then we complain about how much money this song gun got and what he's doing with it.
you know what, Verdi? You are right. You are absolutely right. Let me give you some love for that one. Yes, you clap for that. Wow. But you're absolutely right, Vernon. And you know how I say it. Get over it. You know, that's what I say all the time. You know,
get over it, man.
Yeah. You know, get over it. You know, it was what it was, but now it's time for us to do something. The other thing is we get all these great degrees, and then what we're going to do? We go and work for the other person. You know what I mean?
Oh,
make
yeah.
money for them. You know, we make money for them.
See, we talk about how much money we have to spend, but see, you acquiring that money by working for somebody. People can lay you off just as quick as they can hire you. We have to manufacture and produce. You have to manufacture and produce. You can't go to Asians trying to buy wholesale, hoping that you're going to use that wholesale product to open up a retail product across the street from the Asian's cousin who's already selling it to you. Asians are not going to give you what they call family prices. These people are not stupid. You have to compete against them. If you're going to give out turkey dinners for Thanksgiving, get those turkeys. Y'all down there in Mississippi, call up Eddie Cartime with the Mississippi Family Farmers Association and find out where black farmers are producing turkeys. Buy them from them. Don't be buying them from, what's them, I can't think of the name of them, those companies.
Well, see,
you in Mississippi, you got a 662 area code, don't you, Vernon?
Man.
Oh yeah, I know what 662 area code is. That's Mississippi.
Well, that's Mississippi 662-458-0983. Call up the Mississippi Family Farmers Association, and they'll tell you who you can go to down there. Mm-hmm. that's black, that's raising turkey and everything else. And that's a start.
Yep. That's a start. But you know how many things.
All right, hold on. I got to bring somebody else in. Let me bring somebody else in. All right, 111, you're on the air. What's going on?
Hello.
Hello, Maze. Oh, how are you today?
I'm just fine.
Oh, great. All right. You want to join in the conversation as well?
Yes. What is the subject?
We'll go right ahead. Huh?
The subject is the reason why there's problem in the community, because there's sometimes things in the way that people can't do what they need to do in the community. You have a chamber of commerce that won't let certain things come into some places where you live. Because I know of three football players wanted to build something, and the chamber of commerce told them they could not do it. Pro football players wanted to put something in a neighborhood that would have made big money, and they told them no, they couldn't do it because of the chamber of commerce, because they can't raise money. So what do y'all say about things like that when you know things like that do happen?
Well, those things, those are things we need to be marching about.
And they will own it.
Those are things we need to march and picket on, if that's the case.
I don't agree with Yankee a lot. Go ahead. My bad. Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, I was asking Mary, what type of businesses were the pro football players trying to bring to the community?
The college, the university that they finished from, they wanted to bring a center, and they wanted to bring a lot of different things. I'm in the mall. So let me get so I can hear. Just a minute. And then I'm going to explain it to you. And they wanted to bring a lot of little things to this, like a little shopping mall, to things to put people to work, because they don't really have those kind of things in the little town. And the Chamber of Commerce sold them them.
So
the Golden Alley. They want to bring a bowling alley, a skating ring, and everything that young people would enjoy. And that would have hired the people and gave them something to do, but it would belong to them.
Did the
pro football
players go out and try to solicit getting petitions signed to bring those type of businesses to your community?
They owned the land. They didn't have to get a petition signed. They said no. And that's why it's not there today.
It's certain things you have to do to get things done. You don't just...
No, Bernie. If you got the Chamber of Commerce sitting there telling you what could come into your city or your little town, you can't do more than they let you do.
Well, don't y'all have a black Chamber of Commerce?
That's the reason our business agree with Pianki. That's when you need to have some real marches going on, some protesting going on, and not just that. You need to completely boycott whatever this other person, the Chamber of Commerce, got going on.
Exactly.
And you have a Chamber of Commerce
The country has a Chamber of Commerce too.
Things are redlined every day. And also you have a black business group that where you can go to. They got a phone book. You can look it up on the internet where you can do business with black people all the time. Some never went out of business, but some people don't know nothing about them, which is a shame.
Well, you know, it seems like anytime we have a Trayvon Martin, everybody know about it. But something like this, we don't know nothing.
Well, if we have a Trayvon Martin or whatever else, it shouldn't be like this in the beginning anyway, to where we have to do stuff like this. After the 60s, it should have been over, to where you wrote redlining and stopped people from doing things. But it's still here. It's just like the little clown thing that they had the other day, making mockery at the fairground. Just like I say, some things are still alive that we think we need to be forgetting.
Oh, absolutely.
But it's still alive.
You're talking about in Missouri at the one of the state fairs, I believe.
Yes, and that don't make any sense. So if you still got that,
Miss Mary, here's what I would love to explain to our group of people. The only reason that a rich man... Only way you affect him is his bottom line. That means his back pocket. If you start putting black dollars in these establishments, then you will see a major difference. They'll come to the table and dance to the tune of a different beat.
Just like Texaco. Like I said, if you teach your money some sense, and people will find something that they don't have in it when you teach it. It's not liberal when it comes to money. Because they're going to take it from anybody.
T, teach your money some sense. You know, that's why right. I like listening to you talk.
For you and you don't have to root for it. Pionke, if you teach your money some sense, it'll root for you and you don't have to root for it.
Yeah. But, that's mean, why I come out like listening to you sometime, Maze.
I know.
That's
you
like
do.
I, you know, I don't see it.
Hold on,
a lot of time.
Let Vernon get it. No, go ahead, Vernon. You're good. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I didn't want to interrupt you, Mr. Talk. I say this here a lot of times on the show too, Maze. What's the easiest people to block from doing something is the people that is dysfunctional and divided.
No.
If you want to, yes, it is. Now that's a lie. If you want
to
stop,
the easy way to
stop
somebody from doing something, if they're trying to do something and they can't never get it to competent, and then they got to go through court and spend money and do all this stuff, and by the time they get there, they don't waste a whole lot of money to try to get it done.
Okay, but you just said. But you just said the Chamber of Commerce blocked it.
Yeah, it did.
Oh, now, if you want to block something, you don't go block nobody that's unified and together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're not gonna try to run over them people. But you take black people, as divided as we are, people know that they can come in about whatever they want to in our communities and stop us from doing just what they want to stop us from doing, because we're not going to stand together for nothing.
But, Vernon,
if
you look at it this way, if you have a neighborhood, you got a liquor store in there, and you think you want to own it, you think you're going to be able to own it without having to go through a whole lot of stream from somebody else coming in and owning it?
Understand what I'm saying, Maze. The only reason it is that way.
Should it be is what I'm asking you. Should it be that way?
It should it be. You got to realize, like I said a few minutes ago, we 50 years away from the civil rights movement. We're about 50-some years away from
50
that.
50 years. It's
50. So,
don't y'all have a black chamber of commerce in your town?
No, there's no black chamber of commerce in the town.
That's what
but
it needs
town,
to be right there.
I'm not having no problem where I am. I say it's something that I know. I know a lot of people, Pionke.
Well, the one that you mentioned that incident, it would be if it was a black chamber of commerce in that city or that town, then that there is where your movement started with
well,
them.
Well, they don't have a black chamber of commerce. It's like one of those. What?
When the Chinese people come in here, they unify, right?
Yeah, they unify, but they can't get everything they want either. In that same little town, they won't let them come in.
They together, right?
Supposedly.
Okay, they come in here, they build these restaurants and stuff, and we flood them out eating, right?
No, I don't, because
I
don't eat rats.
Maze, we ain't talking about you personally. Come on now. How many times I have to tell you about
you
that?
What, man,
Pionke, stop talking to me. I'm talking
about
most,
you know what, man?
Selfish.
You got to be one of the most perfect people we know. Because you just
don't
do nothing.
If I don't eat rice and I don't eat that food, I call it dog food and cat food, and I don't eat it. So they won't make no money out of me.
So, Maze, where are you calling from, Maze, if you don't mind me asking?
Ohio.
Oh, okay. Tell old brother Charles Ramsey, dead giveaway, I said hello.
Whatever you say.
No, but on a serious note, Miss Maze, what it boils down to is this. And Vernon and Mr. Pionke hit the nail on the head. We have to get out of the mentality of separation. The only way, if you really want to make a big difference, we have to be unified.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people talk about the president or what he can do. I'm going to tell you where the president is at the federal level, ladies and gentlemen. Where you make a difference in your communities at the local and state government. People have to get out there behind and go
I
vote.
I said it all the time.
And if we don't
and
do
all
that,
39 million blacks don't have to be unified. You just have to have a cartel, a group that's unified around a certain cause. And one other question, Maze, Ohio is big. Where you stay at?
What you need to know where I live at? That ain't your business. I ain't coming to tell you where I live. I just told you
like
to
know
where I live, and that's all you need
I like
to know.
I like to know where this town is that they couldn't do what they wanted.
I didn't say that was. Did I say that was there? I didn't say I was born in Ohio. Did I? I said that's where I live. Get it together.
I got some relatives around Toledo, Ohio, that's from down south here.
Look, do we really care?
Well, the place I'm talking about is
really
I like to know what that city, that town is, because I like to investigate
that. Do we really care? All right.
Do you want me to tell you, about
that. That is not what we're talking about. Ohio.
Name of the town.
Hide it.
Sure
we
not.
Don't want to hear about that. What?
Thank you, Mr.
Talk. Oh, you're welcome. All right. Now, what you were saying, Vernon, besides somebody living in Toledo?
I was just messing with Maze, man.
Oh, okay.
I was just messing with Maze, man.
But right. The man named Claude Addison, he been trying to get people to band in with him. Everybody ignore him. And the one, what was his name, Warren Valentine, he was trying to get people to connect to a bank in Carolina that's been there for the first black bank, there's one of them that's still standing. Try to get people to put money in there. You know what they did? They act like it didn't, wouldn't matter. I mean, and then, you know, all of a sudden, he's got problems because he was trying to do stuff like this. So what was about those kind of
people? You see,
he had a big following.
You see,
but now they got
rid
of
him. Mays, what it boils down to is look at the generation in which you are referring to.
Mm-hmm.
Now, during the civil rights movement, now, folks marched. Yeah. Now, what I'm trying to get you to understand is that generation is not the generation of today. There's a whole different mentality.
Mm-hmm.
We walk around with our pants hanging off our behind, tatted up, looking like thug bones and no harmony. And
they
you expect these. Say again?
That's what I'm saying. They walk around with their pants hanging down, money in their pocket, more than they had back in the day when they was marching. And the same people that put that money in their pocket is the same one that got your community messed up to like you did. So they're not going to digging that money out of no hole that they got in those with them pants hanging down and looking like that. They're getting money from somewhere. Those are the
money.
Kids, some of them.
They got money.
They're
boiling
their money.
And they're taking it to the white communities, to the white stores, the white restaurants, and that's where they're going broke at.
Hello. Hello, hello, hello.
That is so true. That is true, Maze.
I didn't say it was true. That's what everybody else do, too. Like I said, when you stop eating at the garden and you start eating canned food, that's when you start giving your money away.
Why do blacks, I'm just going to ask this question, put it out there for everybody. Why do blacks, you know, try so hard to be accepted?
I don't try to be accepted because I can kill it.
By white people. I said, why do blacks, Maze?
Well,
I don't know why some of them do. But the people I know, they could care less.
Hey, you know what, Vernon? Let me see. Can I answer that for you? I was born and raised in Mississippi. My grandfather was a civil rights activist for 40 years.
And
he said
and I was
something
born and
to me years
in Alabama
ago.
Too.
He said something to
yes,
me years
please.
Ago that has always made a lot of sense to me. He said the black man didn't know he was poor until the white man came and told him he was. He said, now, you do know you're living in poverty, right? The black man said, what is poverty? Oh, well, you don't have no running water in your house. You had to go to an outhouse to use the bathroom. See, we thought that was normal, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now that you have came in and given me a different perspective, here's what right looks like. You should have running water in your house. You had to go outside to use the bathroom. You know, you go to this, what they call the water closet.
Mm-hmm.
And see, now, ever since then, guess what we do? We go find think about this now, as black people. We go get us a nice ride. Who neighborhood do we ride in? Us or theirs? Ours. I'm going to tell you why, because we want to impress.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to drive over in no gated community, no nice whip.
That's right.
Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So what it boils down to is this. Now, like you said, liquor store, black hair, owned by Koreans. We want to go get some nice tunes put in the whip. Koreans. And what they do is they got it figured out. They will live in one house 100 deep.
100 deep.
And pool their resources, okay? Once you get enough money to start your business across the street, then you go start yours.
Mm-hmm.
Put the money back in the pot. Then you're going to start yours. Now you have a whole international business district. Do that make sense? But we as African-Americans or black people, well, I can't do that because Mr. Talk might get bigger than me. I ain't going to let him give him no money. He'd be riding around his big body Benz and Lexus. But what about Mr. such and such? He riding around in here. You don't say nothing. It's a mentality thing. We as black people have to understand the only way we will ever progress truly in the United States of America, which we did not come as immigrants. We came and built America on the backs that people are still enjoying the fruits of our labor, still until this day.
That's right.
Guess what? Your 40 acres and a mule ain't coming.
What will you be told when you tell somebody that?
What?
That people are still living off the labor.
Say what, man?
I said, what will people tell you when you say that the
that ain't what
of,
you said, but that's what you meant.
That this country was built on, and they tell you we didn't have anything to do with that, but they were reaping the benefits from it.
See, what you have to do is remind the people what the accomplishments that we made as slaves. Guess what? We are no longer slaves, so what excuse do you have in 2013 on the 16th of August to still be living in your situation?
I'm not in my situation.
Well, it takes us.
Bianca, did you pick cotton?
No, I didn't pick
cotton. Oh, Lord. Hold on.
You went around in time they were picking cotton?
Call in. Oh,
no,
well,
I wasn't
one,
around
one,
that
one.
Time.
You're
but they're still picking cotton, but I wasn't in that area. But I tell you what, I have a fascination about cotton.
Hold on,
I didn't know it was so many varieties.
Yankee, hold on.
Yes.
Wait. All right. 111, you're on the air.
Well, yes, thank
Mike.
You, Mr. Chalk, for letting thank you for letting me return.
Hello, Mike.
What's up, Vernon? Hey, listen, Vernon. Hey, listen, Vernon. As they say, this is no homo, but I miss talking to you, bruh.
Yeah, what's going on? I miss talking to you, too, man. What's happening?
What's up with you? How y'all guys doing?
Doing good.
We doing fine, Mike.
Yeah, if you don't behave, he's going to run you off again.
Well, see, I have a little time of my own, so I'm not going to, you know, cutting for y'all. But but before I get to my restoration question, y'all was talking about the black community. You know, I was talking to Mr. Solution the other day, and surprisingly, he said that, you know, some black people should be fighting for their wages that they weren't paid. Some communities around the country are actually suing the government for enslaving them people because the slavery trickles down and it affects another generation. But I just want to say this. I understand what you're saying, that we need to be independent. I understand that. But see, we live in America, and when you want the black community to get better in America, well, unfortunately, other people controls the money. That's going to affect, right, because the black community, even though the entrepreneurs may come in, they still going to need local, state, and federal dollars. So unfortunately, on the state level, you're going to have people that don't look like their skin color helping out the community. So it's going to take all of us financially to do it in this country because it didn't look like that by itself. You know, you can't just blame everything on all of them. I understand, and now, having said that, I'm not saying we be lazy, we shouldn't go to school and stuff like that. Never said that. But it's going to have to take a joint effort because the black community didn't get that way by itself. Other people outside of the community affected it, even though it wasn't in it.
Other people outside of the community are not going to give you money back. Blacks is not going to get reparations based on the way that they're going about trying to get it. I mean, what is whites going to give you reparations? Because they already get all, every dime they give you, they get it right back.
Well, that's why, why they treat you, the one they just going to get back to them, they're going to get it back anyway. So that's what I say. If they give it to them, they'll get it back.
There's ways to get it, but we ain't nowhere near ready for that.
But what needs to be done, they need to close all the school system now, start all over, put our children in the schools where they're going to be taught for real, not taught the way that they want them to be who they are. That will make one change.
That's true.
Because that's what's got them messed up.
Yeah.
And what schools are...
And you know how this happened?
Homeschooling.
Well, it would be one way to do it. Take them out of the school system where they're making money off each child every day. For each child that's up in the classroom. And if you take them out of that school system, I guarantee you it will change.
Well, see, what we were talking last night was about curriculum, and I'm studying for, you know, the show and stuff, and I'm learning about curriculum. I know a little bit about it, but there's so many different curriculums. Even when you write a textbook, the textbook tries to come out. Now, I'm talking about when it comes to history, because they're fussing over these history books are not saying it. Some of parents are protesting because the history books are not reading the way they want their kids to have the history. Far as, you know, the way Islam came in, the way Christianity came in, and it's not reading it right. So we even battle over curriculum.
Well, we don't battle over. What you have is people that's hard-headed. You already have black schools that's producing excellent students compared to none. You got black schools that's outperforming high-class private white schools. Why come you don't look and see what they're doing? You don't have to go out and buy somebody else's curriculum. We already got that stuff going on. You got the Council of Black CB, the Council of Independent Black Institutions. You got school there in D.C. called Nation House. As I mentioned earlier, you got Marcus Garvey Academy out there on Slauson Avenue in South Central L.A. So go see what they're doing and talk to them. You don't have to go out and buy somebody else's curriculum.
They are home.
We just digging a deeper hole.
Well, see, I agree with you, Pinckney, and that's why I discuss it, because a lot of people in our community for years and say they don't teach our kids right, and then you want to, and I mean, you hear the adults say these quote unquote schools don't teach black kids right, and then you wonder why they don't want to go to school. You just can't say that. You have the power to change your curriculum, but if you say it's quote unquote black, does their curriculum
and
those
I agree
schools
with
that
you
just said is different, because it causes chaos when it comes to adults.
You got some Negroes will say it's too black.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I'm just trying to get a standard curriculum that we all, because especially when it comes to history, we all beef over it. And
you
then when
the
it comes
black
to adults,
homeschoolers, you have the Black Homeschoolers Association. I mean, all those things. Listen, we have everything we need. I mean, this conversation on education has been going on for almost a century.
It's been going on ever since they closed up the schools.
Well, let me ask this question. Do you think the education that we received, say, in the late 60s, early 70s, is relevant for 2013, in the new millennium?
There is.
Some parts of it, yeah, especially when it comes to math, because when I came up, I learned word problems. I didn't learn just numbers. Word problems, you had to think.
Well, Mr. Talk,
that's what's wrong with America.
Earlier, I think we have gotten so far away from teaching, mm-hmm. instead of teaching a standardized test so the teachers get fired at the end of the year,
yeah.
because the percentage of the students didn't pass. Now, that's a reflection on the teacher, and they're under pressure to make sure that the standardized state test.
That's another thing. You know, I'm going to tell you how that works. School districts that receive... See, those excellent public school districts, when you look at where their revenues come from, and I can give an example of two here, where 97% of the revenue, operating revenue for those school districts come from the local concern through property taxes and so on and so on. They don't receive nothing from the federal government and very, very little from the state. But when you look at black school districts, they receive 35% from the state, 20% from the federal government. Well, those two entities are going to have dictate to you what you do and what you can't do. That's another big problem. Then you got the school
and
teachers union.
Well,
the teachers union are not no problem.
They are.
It's the government that's the problem, because all of the public schools
are teachers unions
are
just as
government.
Ragged as anything else.
Every public school system that is in this country is funded by the government. And
well, I just want to
go ahead, Mike.
The governor of Alabama just did. What he just did.
Well, see, on curriculum, right, in my research on curriculum, the reason why it's so chaotic, guys, is because everybody has their own interest. All these interest groups, like Pinckney said, the unions, even the teachers' unions, the local politicians, the school board, the federal government have their own different opinions how our kids should be taught. And what I'm saying is, where's the one standard curriculum? Now, like, for instance, I could be a teacher and I can tell, and a student may ask me, well, is the Constitution a pro-slavery document or anti-slavery document? Now, when I tell them, they're getting it my curriculum. I say it's a pro-slavery document, and I can point something. And another curriculum may say, no, it's an anti-slavery. So you having kids or growing up an adult are going to be fussing. One going to say, it was, four founds was right, they were good. I want to say, oh, no, man, we need to scrap this thing. We need to read over it. So it causes division. It's too many different curriculums, and that's the same thing that the black community. Why y'all not teaching our kids our history right in these quote-unquote public schools? Now, I know you can privatize the PM,
black
but I'm just saying.
More than just
right.
history. They need to have economic components to whatever they have. Well, you don't have them economic
hold
components.
Hold on for a minute. Let me bring just, knowledge.
Where's Ebony?
The steam panel. What's going on? Reading.
I think he wants to hear a woman's voice. Asking for Ebony.
Oh, well.
What's going on, esteemed panel?
Oh, what do what? Not
on,
much,
knowledge.
Mr. Knowledge. How's that Chardonnay tasting?
You know what, Mr. Talk? Stop putting my business in the street. And
to answer your question,
the Chardonnay is tasting absolutely lovely. You can't go wrong with grapes.
Oh, okay.
Hey, but anyway, I hear that
we're talking
about curriculum, and me and Mr. Allfax had this conversation last night, and I think what's important for the black community to understand is that anytime you have an educational system that is sponsored by the government, it is not designed to educate you. It is designed for you to assimilate into a particular culture. Now, what the good thing about education is that hopefully it will plant some seeds in you, and what springs forth is a thirst for actual knowledge, which you have to go out and seek yourself. It's not going to be given to you in an institutionalized environment. Yes, you will be educated. We want you to pledge allegiance to the flag. And by the way, because the stripes are going on the American flag, the stripes are horizontal, right? That means it's a military. That means it's a military flag for all of the people who are listening who don't understand symbology. When the stripes are vertical, that's a flag of peace. When the stripes are horizontal, that's a flag of war. So, for those of us who are my age, 50 or 40, there used to be a pledge of allegiance in school. That's how school started. You had to pledge allegiance to the flag. You had to take an oath,
right.
In other words. That was the way that you were being indoctrinated. And that's what the educational system does. It indoctrinates you into a particular culture. Now, when you're talking about actually gaining knowledge and understanding, or like the Muslims like to say, overstanding, or like the Moors like to say, innerstanding, pick whatever one that works for you. In order to gain that, you have to branch out. You have to take the tools of education and apply them to what goes on in society and the modern world.
But that's also another type. Now, I understand what you're saying, but another group will come and say, well, you're not teaching it right.
It doesn't matter.
It does matter because you still have two different curriculums looking at history in two different ways.
No, that only matters if you buy into the system.
Right, but you want me to buy into another system, right?
No, I don't. No, I don't want, me personally, I don't. I could care less what you buy into. Now, if you're gonna walk around like an empty vessel, that's on you. Because your Bible tells you that. Know thyself. Know thyself first. Before you try to learn anything else, learn you. Learn how you work. Learn how you think. Learn how
you think
in relationship to the world. If you're concerned about curriculum, you're living outside of yourself.
Well, hold up. No, we're all indoctrinated with some type of curriculum. Because what I read last night, I studied curriculum. I think I'm a scholar in curriculum now. You're right.
I'm sure you are.
Okay. Which curriculum does not try to control the mind and make that mind act in a certain way? That's what curriculum is for. And
that's
when you're talking about
said.
Go back to another curriculum,
said.
Quote,
that's
you know, another
said.
Curriculum, they're still trying to put another.
No,
curriculum.
I'm not talking about a curriculum. A curriculum, by definition, is a prescribed, learned pattern of behavior. You are
okay, and right, and they want children to act out
time.
That behavior, and they want them to act out the curriculum. So it's the same
all facts,
thing.
All facts. Let's bring it down a notch. I done had some emotional conversations over
I'm
the last
sorry,
24
I'm
hours.
Right I'm now.
I'm not, and I know you amped up. I understand, but I'm not trying to go there right now because, like Mr. Talk. Like Mr. Talk said, I got the grapes flowing, so I'm trying to be in that even keel. I'm just trying to be mellow today because it's Friday. Okay? But back to the matter at hand, where we're talking about curriculum, that's a prescribed, okay, prescription. You go to the doctor, they diagnose you, they find out what it is, they give you a prescription, something to follow. That's what a curriculum is. That has nothing to
and
do with...
That's what America has for you for 12 years, a curriculum
exactly.
That they set for you to do.
Exactly.
And you have to
that
buy
has,
it or either. If you don't, you go to jail.
That's
that
right.
Law, you got to be in school.
And with that, has nothing, that has nothing to do with knowledge.
Just because
that
they
has
give
nothing
to, you,
to do with knowledge.
Because they give that curriculum to you, that doesn't mean
okay.
You have to buy it back.
Hold on for a minute, y'all. Hold on. Hold on for a minute. Hold on. Hold on a minute. Go ahead, Thomas.
You know, this is an outstanding forum, and I think the conversation is very enlightening. I read a book a few years ago by Robert Kiyosaki, A Rich Dad, Poor Dad, with the rich teacher
yeah,
kids that the poor don't.
Mm-hmm.
Outstanding book.
Yes, it is.
We were all taught growing up, go to school, get a good education, get you a good, secure job. And when I learned from that, he said the other side of that was we were taught to be employees, not employers.
Correct.
The system, why do you think the 1% controls the 99%? Because they understand the system.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And so if I control the 99%, I can control the curriculum.
Exactly.
And so you're going to dance to... It's almost like, okay, the person who has the most money make the decision.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
But it doesn't necessarily have to be right.
Now, one thing about education, I sit every evening, ladies and gentlemen, with my family. I ask, okay, how was school today? What do you all talk about? See, education is one thing, but the reinforcement is at home. Charity, once again, ladies and gentlemen, starts at home. Okay, if they're not teaching your child about Black history in the public school, guess what? They can get taught at home.
Sure can.
What's your take
see,
on
now
that?
Now we're talking about knowledge versus
well,
education.
Who's going to teach Black history at home? They don't know it themselves.
What you mean they don't know?
Right. And
come
then
on,
when you
Yankee,
teach them at
Yankee,
home.
Give us a little bit more credit
of,
than that.
Some of them got a history book in their house. Some of them
got
credit.
And when
you got 15 million Black children in public schools. Across the nation. Well, maybe not 15 million, but you got quite
and I know what I'm getting ready to say now, I don't I'm a fan of controversy, but here what gets me.
Man, just say it. Just
now, we
put
were
it
sending
out.
Our child to a basketball camp, a football camp, to make sure he the next LeBron James or the next whatever the case, but what about that summer school program? Because your child is reading on a fifth grade level that you know he needs to, he or she needs to be at. Two, when they become that professional athlete and they got that microphone put up in front of their mouth and they can't even make a subject and
right.
Verb agree. Mm. That's
well,
what
let me
really
ask you a question, Jerome.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what?
Wait a minute. Let me ask this question to both of you two and two. And we say that
who is Jerome?
And we say that Black history. Wait a minute. We say that Black history is supposed to be taught at home. Why come they don't teach them basketball at home? Why don't they teach them how to be LeBron James at the house?
Because you don't have to.
But see, what I'm trying to tell you is, I understand teach them at home, but when they go to school, the kid's mind is going to be in a contradiction. They're going to say, hold up, my parents are teaching me, and then this school that I must go to every day is contradicting what my parents are saying, and it gives the mind a confusion.
No, it
that's,
doesn't.
There's something not right, but hold on. I want to say something. Listen, when you say curriculum is not knowledge, I must say that is absolutely not factual. Knowledge, when someone gives you curriculum, they're giving you their knowledge. Now, I'm not saying that knowledge is fact. I'm not saying it's true or not. You have false knowledge and you have truthful knowledge.
Right,
but hold on, I just want to say this. When someone gives you knowledge, if someone is giving you something that happened before, that's what knowledge is.
Mike,
so that's
go to the Constantly Independent website, CB, and they describe to you what curriculum is. Come back and tell us.
No, I can see what curriculum is.
No,
someone
I'm
standing
about,
up and telling someone how I was dealing with history curriculum, and we
you don't
and
see no
cultures have different takes
Mike,
on what history is.
Mike.
Now, I'd like to reinforce what Mr. Bryant was saying. Growing up in the Bay Area, I had the privilege of growing up with various cultures, and one of the things that I learned, being that I have very close friends who are Chinese, Vietnamese, Korean. One of the things that the Chinese did in Oakland, this is, I'm going to tell you something I know. They would go to school 5 days a week, and then on Saturday, it was a requirement for them to go to their Chinese school to learn their culture. That was required. You could go through Oakland, and you would go to the Chinese district on a Saturday. And they were having school while all the rest of the kids, it was the weekend. These kids were going to school 6 days a week, not five, not between 8 a.m. and 3 p.m. They was at school on Saturday from 9 o'clock in the morning till 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
And some of the kids went on Sunday and found out and Saturday to find out their history because that was the history of the church that they were attending. They had grandmothers and grandfathers who were
right,
learning history.
Right. And that substantiates what Mr. Bryant was saying about
doing
teaching
the same thing
at home.
So that was
so sound like we all on the same accord and saying that black people got their priorities wrong.
Exactly.
They don't have their priorities wrong.
Right.
People that got it wrong is the ones that always think it's wrong, but it's right. It's
they do because
that way.
Here's why I'm
saying that our priorities are right.
My wife and I.
I said, depending on where you are.
Here's where I know our priorities are probably not in the correct order. When I attend a teacher conference. Why is it that the only people that look like me is my wife? But when I can go to that football game on Friday, grandma there, grandpa, uncle, nephew, niece, and daughter get there early so they can get them a good seat.
Yeah.
Because when you attend that teacher conference, ain't nobody looking like you and your wife when your child go to school. Ain't nobody looking like but except the kids sitting behind the desk looking like him that's teaching the music.
No, can I give you one? When the Ravens won
the
Super Bowl.
You're only going for a PTA meeting to see your child perform. That's what most of them knew is about anyway.
Go ahead, Mike.
Listen, I'm from Baltimore, guys. When the Ravens won the Super Bowl, this is the first time ever. Downtown Baltimore, people took off from work, kids from school to give a parade. They said almost 300,000 people was on the sidewalk on the street. Plus, it was so many people, they had the parade at the stadium. And I'm looking at all these people of my color, and I say, wow, we can get together for a Ravens football game, but we can't get together for political issues. Look at all these people. They're in one spirit, one accord, and I say, look. And I'm sorry. I say, look at this. And I look. And look, everybody, look, people do left their jaws and everything. I say, look, people can get together when they really, really want to.
Well, my grandson,
and you know what,
they went to school on Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Wait, hold on. Wait a minute. Wait. You know what, Mike? I agree with you 100%. I've said that often myself. A lot of times, you know, we get to talking about racism and all that on the show, and I think I mentioned that at one time. Any given Sunday, well, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday,
You look up in them stands, and everybody sitting next to each other. Hey, there's nothing going on because they're all together for one of the two teams. You see, but you know when it comes down to everyday things, we're so divided. It doesn't make any sense. You
well,
know,
Mr.
and
Brown,
I'm kind of
you
know, I understand
you what a
we
joke
didn't
it is.
Condition.
Blacks ain't
that shows you what a joke it is.
Mm. What a
because
joke,
if
what
you
is,
can get to if you can get together for a common cause, whether it be entertainment or sports or whatever the whatever it may be, if you can get together for that, you can get together for anything if you want to.
Priorities are wrong.
Well, that's true.
If you want to,
that is.
And that
blacks
just goes to show you,
I agree with
that just goes to show you how racism is a tool of the elite that they
why?
Play on the general public.
It's not, only the elite, it's everybody. Because everybody has their little cliques that they have.
But what I'm saying, Maze, what I'm saying is it's a trick that's being played on us because we're giving examples of how racism doesn't even come into effect, just like all facts says. People leave their job, kids don't go to school, and then like Mr. Talk said, you look up in the stands, and just like Mr. Bryant was saying, you know, aunts, uncles, cousins, everybody get there early to get a seat, and ain't nothing going on. But as soon as something happens between black and white, oh, here we go. Here we go. We just beside ourselves. I can't stand you, you can't stand me, but damn it. Let there be Michael Jackson on the stage. Let there be Lady Gaga on the stage. Beyonce on the stage. You sitting there right with a white person, and y'all dancing together. How the hell do we do that, but then wake up the next day and say, damn it, I don't like you. You're scum of the earth. But then when we go pay that money to be entertained, we're all one.
You know,
we are the world. Remember that solid?
Yeah. We kind of had an incident.
Yes, bro.
We kind of had an incident here about a month ago where they was trying to get something done where the clubs and the bars and stuff closed at 1 o'clock rather than at 5 to try to get the violence to try to control the violence a little bit. Because,
okay.
You know,
I was closed up at 2 here, Vernon. We closed up at 2 here. Damn, 5?
All right, Michael.
You wouldn't believe how many black people went up and had they went up.
Stop it, Vernon. Don't embarrass. Stop it.
When you get what they answer, that's why they did it, Vernon.
Exactly.
But I didn't hear what he was saying. What was the end part of that? You wouldn't believe what?
You wouldn't believe how many black people went up to try to fight to keep the clubs open to 5 o'clock, man. and I mean, you know, the people doing this thing to try to control the crime rate, try to bring the crime rate, crime numbers and things down because it was getting a little too high. But you won't believe how many black people came up. I mean, now that's why I'm talking about priorities wrong, man. Just to keep the club open so I could drink and hang out and party.
Got it.
And whatever, a little bit longer. Now, they
Vern, Vern, I got another one for y'all. In my state, they trying to ban the pit bulls. They was at the state building. I thought I was going to see more. It was so many of us out there trying to stop protecting them pit bulls. From doing, I said, wow. If they come out for the pit bulls, neither they do their own community. Human beings, brothers and sisters. But they was out there, hot and heavy, thick in front of the state building. We want our pit bulls to have our rights. I said, okay. I'm just looking
like,
at them.
They just like them abortion. People want to come to them. They can band some of them band together to do that, too. It's only the interesting people get together and do that.
Lord
things.
Have mercy.
But, yeah, I mean,
right,
I mean
but,
the end of the
but,
day.
But do
Mike,
you
I put about
do you
eight
see
links in
the
chat room.
Why we getting together?
Okay, I'll get them.
Did you see why we get together? We get together for the wrong thing. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Funeral. Blacks
we
are already
together.
Mr. Talk.
No, they come together at funerals.
blacks are already together. Jackson, Mississippi is about 75% black. The state of Mississippi is 37% black. 18 counties in Mississippi is over 70% black, not including South Carolina, Memphis, Tennessee,
and Mississippi,
Louisiana, 30%.
Mississippi has the highest poverty rate of any state.
Listen,
so don't give me that.
Those are economic markets. You look at it for the wrong thing.
He's talking about a number, Mr. Talk. You look at it as a consumer.
Well, quite naturally, you're going to say stuff. No, look at it as an economic. Well, you know, I'll tell you what. When Asians and Arabs come to those communities, they don't say it's the highest poverty area in the country.
Oh, it's just a money thing.
Well, why do we do that?
Now, that's right, because they move
in. They just start a business.
Why can't we not start making businesses?
And start making money.
Well, a lot of drugs.
Because we don't want to help each other. That's why. We rather hurt each other than help each other.
We do that every day on here. Because we don't like it don't bother me because somebody else sees it.
Contact the Federation of Southern Farmers. Mississippi Family Farmers Association in Mississippi, then Tupelo, or Alcorn State University, Tupelo College. They got information of blacks that's doing things and want to do some more things. Let's contact them.
That's why you're so busy talking about what's not being done.
You were talking about Claude Anderson and the waterland fisheries. He's doing an excellent job. He's the largest indoor organic fish farm in the country.
Yep.
Chinese buy up every fish that he produced.
Yep.
And he wants to expand.
Talk about him. And we do not know, talk about him, nor need to know how to get to him, to go purchase nothing from him. But we want to sit around and say what we need to do. Claude is doing what he thought to do.
Claude Anderson. His number is 301. 301 area code 564-6075.
That brother's deep.
Don't say what we can't get in contact with.
There it is right there.
I got to go, Mr. Talk.
Okay. See you later.
Don't be trying to throw that stuff by Bianca. You know better. I'll talk to you later. Peace.
Oh. All right, Bianca.
All right, Bianca. Have a good one.
But he was just saying that to her. That Claude Anderson, he's on point with his. If anybody has not ever listened to him, pull him up on YouTube, Dr. Claude Anderson.
Have you invested in anything he has to do?
I want to. I just don't have the disposable income to do that.
Oh. Well, if you maybe call the number, you probably could get a plan done so you can.
Okay. Well, I'll do that, Maze.
Well, Maze, are you going to call Maze?
Excuse me?
Are you going to call Maze? Are you going to call?
He didn't give me a number that I don't already have. I even have the Black Bank in Carolina. The Black Bank in Carolina.
Okay. So have you invested in any of those?
Yes.
Have you invested in any of those?
He's not the only one. Yes. I was even invested in the Black Bank in Tuskegee, and it went out of business. So I'm not afraid of my people. And sit up and complain about what they can't do. Find out what the one, the place that I brought my hair products from, been here for 60 years, and I've been ordering it ever since I been doing my own natural hair. That's where I get my stuff, not from the Asian people. And it's called Gold Medal, where I get my products from.
All right. Well, you know what, Mae? You know what? That's all right, Mae.
I do business with a whole lot of people. Don't let us come to your house and see no Korean stuff up in there.
Man.
Oh, it's something in there because you can't help from buying something from Korea if you buy something.
Now,
Mr. Talk, where I get my hair products from.
Yeah,
Mr. Talk, I wanted to, because I came on the show late, and I know that your guest, Thomas Bryant, I just heard a little bit how he's into different genres of music, but his heart is with gospel music. Uh-huh. And I just wanted to ask him,
from a gospel perspective, I don't even listen to gospel music because I'm really not into it. However, I did grow up with it, and I wanted to ask him, does the people who are involved in gospel music, do they actually pay homage to Mahalia Jackson, who is probably the most iconic gospel figure of all time?
I would say, sir, that would probably be a 60-40, maybe less, in terms of homage. But I think what has happened, I emptied a banquet about 3 weeks ago, and the black church has become so commercialized now that it has lost its power. I grew up on, I'm just going to sing just a verse if it's all right with Mr. Talk.
Go ahead, man. Let him hear you.
Of song I grew up with like this, sir. It says, I need the old, I need thee. Me now, my Savior, I come to thee. Now, I'll tell you, when you go to a large church and you see a conglomerate of elderly people sitting in that church, and you sing a song like that, you'll see them move. But everybody's not going to get up to GP, are you with me?
They don't know what it is.
And understandably so, but sometimes we... Yes, ma'am.
Do they give homage to the Mighty Clouds of Joy?
That's another one. That's another
Mighty
Cloud,
iconic. The Cantons, the Wishing Brother.
That's another iconic figure in gospel music.
And
how about the Clark
gospel
Sisters?
But also in gospel music before, it was called Seven Shakes, where they would write their music and they would write their song that they didn't use music.
I mean,
and one
would
follow and the other would follow and bring it on
Cleveland,
down.
Oh, absolutely. Edwin Hawkins, you know.
That is gospel music.
And
the other,
the bottom line is some of them do and some of them don't.
But my question was, has the black community forgot about Mahalia Jackson?
No, it's the question is, do they know
about
Mahalia? They don't, some of them.
Yes, they have. They have.
Because
they have.
When it comes to gospel music, and I said this before, just as a disclaimer, I'm not into gospel music. I don't listen to it. But when I hear people talk about gospel music, the first name that comes to me is Mahalia Jackson. That's the first name.
And did you hear
Oh, she was definitely the true pioneer.
Hello.
What did you say, Maze? What did you say?
It was because you listened to her albums, or did you hear her singing? Or
that
somebody in your house
Sunday morning at 6 o'clock, when I was 5 years old, that was blasted in the house. I had to get up. I got up earlier on the weekends than I did during the weekdays. For school.
On Sunday morning,
my mom, this was back in the day, where you had the, like, the console, where it was the record player, and you had the little two speakers on the side, and you had to lift up the cabinet door, and you played the record. Man, my mother had Mahalia Jackson, and she didn't even wake me up on Sundays. She would just put the music on and just put it on full blast.
Hold on. Okay. No, I just want to stop y'all because my guest, Mr. Brian, has to get up out of here. But before he gets up out of here, I want him to say a little something, you know, encouragement and y'all, and tell the listeners where to find your music at, and forth and so on.
First of all, I just want to thank Mr. Talker for having me on this afternoon to be a part of this wonderful discussion and dialogue. And if you get a chance, go out and support me. I would greatly appreciate it because portions of the proceeds from my CD go towards the Wounded Warrior Project. You can find my CD. It's available on iTunes, Amazon, CD Baby, and Rhapsody. And so if you go out and support me, I really would appreciate it. As veterans, helping veterans, I've been one for 25 years. I'm about a year out from retirement. And I just want to say, give a special shout out to all of the men and women who have worn or still wearing the uniform. Thank you for a job well done and continue to do what you do. And God bless each and every one of you.
Hey, can I say something to your guest before he goes? Can I say something to him? I appreciate what you're doing. I didn't have the opportunity to hear the whole show and everything that you were saying, but at the same token, I just want to say that, you know, I know what you're doing. You're doing big things. It's not a popular thing. It's not mainstream, but keep doing what you're doing, brother, because at the end of the day, you can sleep well, and it's all work well done.
Hey, thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
All right, Mike, you wanted to say something real fast?
Yes, I appreciate it. From one veteran to another veteran, man, I appreciate your service to this country. Unfortunately, we didn't get to our question because I know you're talking about restoration. I really wanted to talk about restoration and forgiveness. But next time, you know, hopefully, you know, we can talk about it. But, you know, I'm not into that, you know, I don't listen to Christian music, but, you know, you're doing it for the veterans, man, I'm definitely going to support you. So I got the website and stuff, and I appreciate it, man. That's all I wanted to say.
Thanks, sir. All right, y'all. And, you know, just forget, don't just hold it to yourself, you know, don't understand. Let other people know about him so we can get the word spread about the good work this young man is doing, okay? All right. Well,
all right,
we're gonna go ahead and send him on out here with some love, and y'all can continue talking. And we'll say thanks to Thomas Bryant. All right, y'all can finish talking now.
Yeah, let's get back into the educational
thing.
What about
because
I got some issues with all facts and this.
Man,
whole
I don't want to talk about that no more. The man gone. I knew I should have came with my question. I got on y'all topics. Damn it. I'll get him next time though. It's all good.
I wanna continue on the curriculum thing. Because I think within the black community there's,
can I tell you something before you get started? You can always with technology pull up Mahalia and listen to it. It's not
going I got that. I listen to Mahalia Jackson.
Music soothes the savage.
She's the only one I listen to. I don't listen to no other. No.
But yeah, sometimes people need to listen to her so they can bring this up back together.
But I want to get back on this curriculum thing. And there's a book, which I'm sure most of you have read, The Miseducation of the Negro.
And there is also another one, is Why Johnny Can't Read.
And that is about curriculum. And to all facts, do you know the root word of kindergarten? Do you know where that comes from? The educational system in the United States came from PRUSSIA, P-R-U-S-S-I-A, which is modern-day Germany. And the reason why the educational system that we have was adopted is because in PRUSSIA, they created what is called kindergarten. That's where you take the child in its most formidable years, which is from 0 to about 7. And you take them out of the home, and you indoctrinate them into
popular
culture.
Kindergarten started fast.
No,
right.
but I'm saying.
So all of us are indoctrinated
made,
with something,
I know,
though. You're going from one indoctrination to another indoctrination.
No, it's called curriculum is when you take your child and you send them to the nursery. Not somebody stay home with them to make sure that they are grounded before they
and,
put them
and let's define the word. What does nursery mean?
Just like a place where you send kids so you can have somebody to nurse your kids into whatever they turn out to be as they grow.
Okay, let
and
me give you an alternative.
Stay-home mother.
Let me give you an alternative to nursery. A nursery is used to describe how you cultivate seeds.
That, yes, if you're talking about a garden.
No, but nothing changes. Whether it's a garden, whether it's children, whether it's education, nursery remains the same.
I'm saying there's a difference between the two. If you have a child that stayed home and never went outside of the house to be taken care of, and one that's sent outside the house to be together with a whole lot of different children with no curriculum, all they do is sleep and eat, and they're taught nothing, that's what you're going to get.
Let me ask you something.
And they don't even go to kindergarten. They just start them in first grade. And they're already prepared and ready to go.
Let me ask you a question, Maze, because we have never talked one-on-one,
though
we are always on the show together.
I thought you asked me a question, so I'll answer your question. I'll respond to you when you finish talking to Maze. I'll be quiet.
No, they're all facts.
I know, I'll be quiet.
No,
I'm going to mute myself. Look, I'm good. I'm chilling in my lazy boy. I'm chilling. I'm just listening to him.
Yeah,
it's Friday.
Okay. We're going to get into etymology. And
we're going to make it short now.
We're
going to make it short question, short answer. Okay.
Yeah, because I know how you are, and you like to do it. You like to, you a hit-and-run artist.
No, I'm
so
not hit-and-run. I just don't like to waste time on one thing for a long time, drawing it out. Question, answer, because it takes too long if it's drawn out. In regards, I'm going to do a hit and run. I'm going to subscribe to your way of doing things. Okay.
When we talk about nursery and we talk about kindergarten, aren't we talking about the same thing in regards to children being in their most formidable years and being able to be programmed in regards to curriculum, meaning that we can get them to subscribe to a certain way of thinking?
When kindergarten starts at fifth grade?
Kindergarten starts at 5 years
five,
old,
yes.
Like you said.
But you said
like
zero
you said.
Until seven. That's what you confused me. When you
well,
said
I was
that.
Just I was just using that as an example.
Okay.
Zero to 7 years old. Kindergarten.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So in that formidable stage, which is the most impressionable, why is there so much emphasis put on children at that age?
One, they want to make money. Two, you have certain schools that teach children from age, from the womb to time for them to go to first grade. So they skip over that part. And they're prepared.
No.
That's why it's so much emphasis that they don't want to see that happen. They want to make money. That's why it's so much emphasis
to
it.
They make money when they put them in kindergarten. That plant a certain way of thinking in their mind at an early age that's going to stick with them for their life, mate.
Thank you, Vernon.
But what I'm saying, Vernon, if you got a curriculum in say, like kindergarten, you're teaching them Spanish, you're teaching them French, you're teaching them all the things that they need to know alone in kindergarten, at your nursery. That means they're preparing themselves for life. If you're not teaching them anything, just sitting there every day with a bunch of kids, what do you get out of that?
Well, what you got to realize is that what I read last night now, people may agree, but the teachers do have effect of the curriculum because they say that the teachers can get the same book, but different teachers can interpret that book differently and come off in a different angle than another teacher's. Like, as all we know, didn't we like some teachers better than another teacher, just on how they teach or what have you? And that's why sometimes the teacher has something to do of the curriculum, right?
But you can't really find those teachers anymore where the kid enjoyed their teaching, wanted to go back and meet Miss Ann because she was the greatest teacher they ever had, and what they learned and set them on the right direction to be what some of them are today.
Yes, you do,
you
because what he's saying
anymore.
Is when you send a child in front of another adult at their young age, forget all the definitions. What can we clearly see? We can see another adult standing in front of your children saying, I'm the authority, and I'm going to teach you about life, and you're not there. You're not there. So that's why curriculum is cool. It's really important because people are shaping the mind.
And curriculum is to have a, what I've studied, curriculum is facts. I don't even have to study. I can clearly see it. Curriculum means you want to take a child and you want to shape them as an adult. And they have certain materials and processes that they go through. But the problem is, when I said history curriculum, that's when people have their different opinions. I'm not talking about math curriculum. That's factual. People don't argue over math. We are some black in the community. They're not teaching our kids right about our history. They're not putting that right. And then what I play, like I told you, what I play, you have some. When they're not upset. Oh, he hung up. Oh, I'm sorry. No, someone was clicking in. When they're not happy on with their community and their books, they protest and they get that McGraw-Hill, that practice Hill out of their community, y'all, because the parents and the group, they change their curriculum. Because, I'm sorry, they protest. Them quote-unquote Christians say, listen, this is saying something, and they're giving Muslims in the same light. This book is getting shining, and the Muslims community saying this. They argue over that just like they was arguing over evolution, teaching in schools, or creation. They're still arguing over to today, y'all. Even the black community is arguing over it. So all communities. So what I was saying is, I'm talking about history. We got too many different curriculums when it comes to history.
Let me ask you a question.
And we come up as adults and we fight it. And when you look at the history, the ideology comes in. That's why
I'm
trying to
get a question of it. I want to ask you and Mays a question, and Mr. Talk, and everybody that's on the line. Are the people who have, because education is directly related to income per capita, meaning that based on what you make, how much you make, your school systems will reflect that. Is everybody taught the same curriculum, or does it change based on your income?
It's different depending on what state you live in.
That's not what I asked. Does
the curriculum
it change based on your income? If you have a net worth of $1 million,
is it based where you live at?
Let me finish. I'm going to keep it short. If you have a net worth of $1 million, that means that after all your debts are paid, after all your little intricacies and whatever it is that you just jack your money off on, you still have $1 million left over. Is your child being educated and learning the same curriculum as a child who doesn't grow up in the same type of family environment that has the same income?
You're talking about environment. That's not what you said at first.
If you listen to me and my show, I've been a little bit personal about when I was younger. I've been in two different curriculums. But I graduated from all black school, my high school, all black high school. But I've been in, put like this, I've been in two different curriculums. And you're right, it's different. I've lived it. I know it. I went to another thing and I said, we already did that 2 years ago. I see it. I'm looking at facts. I know that. But it's separate on the community. Unfortunately, the communities in the state control the curriculum. Locally.
I'm talking about how it dictates curriculum.
And the attitude, I say, put it like this. I say the attitude of the people. I've been in two different curriculums, guys, and I'm saying I'm objectively looking at it, and I can see the differences. I'm concentrating the two. And I can say there's two different attitudes and there's two different approaches and two different philosophies in those two different curriculums.
What do you think, Mr. Talk? What do you think?
Okay, I did catch a lot of it because I was doing something. What is the gist of what's being said?
The question that I ask is if all of us right now have a net worth of $1 million, that means that after our bills are paid, we don't owe nobody no money, we can cash out $1 million. Is the curriculum that our kids learn, is it different from the curriculum of, say, someone who's middle class? I'm not even going to go to the other extreme, meaning that they're just, you know, destitute or anything like that. But just say a family that makes $50,000 a year, a nuclear family. The mother, the father is there. They make combined, they probably make about $100,000 a year. And they have no net worth. Their net worth is probably about 25 grand versus us who have a net worth of $1 million. Are our children being educated the same way?
No.
Yes, they are.
They're not.
Yes, they are.
No,
but
not.
You get curriculums from different way. They get their curriculum from home.
Yeah.
See, when you talk about curriculum, you basically someone
that all facts. This is
that's why America is not
Mr.
in the top anymore when it comes to education.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I thought Mr. Trump was doing something. I thought I was his guy.
I brought him up to speed. That's the question.
Okay. Oh, I thought he was like
our children. Are our children educated the same way when we, the ones who are talking right now, me, Mr. Talk, Mays, all facts, you got $1 million net worth. That means you ain't even worried about how your bill's getting paid. Your child is being educated the same way where a family that makes $50,000 who has a net worth of probably about 10 grand, they're being educated the same way?
Yeah.
That's my question.
Right, but see, guess what? That person that's making, listen,
not.
I be making, listen, no. Listen, we may be making the Kane wage, but he may
Michael,
not, listen, he
Michael,
may make $50,000.
All facts, I want to hear Mr. Talk's answer.
I thought he was chilling
back,
y'all. I thought he was chilling.
No, I mean, every time I try to say something, you start running off. I'm trying not to tase you, Michael. You know, I got this new thing, the shotgun. You know, I'm trying to keep that away from you, man, all right?
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Talk.
Hey,
but, he was doing something. I'm sorry.
No, I'm here. Knowledge, to answer your question, no, they're not being taught the same at all.
Thank
the
you.
Curriculum
Thank
they're
you.
Being taught is more, is probably more finance-based or, you know, economic-based than what the average Joe is going to get. Because
Thank
of the
you.
Money that their parents are making.
Thank you. Mays,
so
would you agree?
No.
Would you agree or disagree?
No,
Mays?
I disagree. Because if you look at American system here today, it is at the bottom. It's not at the top anymore. So that means the rich children and the poor children are right at the same, close to the same level. Because it used to be number one. Where is it now?
Mays, you're going to sit here and say that if you got $1 million net worth, that your child is being taught the same thing as an impoverished child? Really?
Yes, they are in some places.
No, they are not in no places.
Yes, they are.
Now, when you talk
thank
about
you,
now,
Mr. Talk.
Now, wait a minute. Now,
yeah,
Vernon,
chime in,
no,
Vernon, chime in.
When you're talking about the basic learning skill, yes, but like you said, it's gonna be a lot of difference there, man. It's
what
when
he's
you
saying,
when you get
Vernon,
talking,
is
yeah.
that
hold a minute, mate, hold on.
Okay.
When you get to talking about that much difference in income, you know, it's gonna be a different type. You're not even your surroundings is different. Your whole teaching is gonna be different, man.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you met
that's
just because
what
your
I'm
net
saying.
Worth is worth $1 million. And you
yeah,
don't
we
think
both, we both gonna know 1 + 1 = 2 and A through Z is the alphabet. We don't know January month of the year. We don't know that.
Just
you
because
know,
you had that $1 million.
Right.
Just because you had $1 million, that means you're gonna move is what he's saying, that you will move out of the curriculum that you're
No,
Maze,
that's not what
money.
I said. What I'm
that's
saying is that when you have that type of income, the educational system works in a different way. That's what I'm saying. It
you
works differently. Just like Burns saying. Just like Burns saying. We don't understand the basic stuff. We don't understand 1 + 1 = 2. We don't understand the alphabet. There's 26 letters. You go from A to Z. We don't understand that. But you're not going to sit here and tell me that a kid who's growing up in an affluent community is being educated the same way a kid who's growing up in the ghetto.
I
issue.
That's what I was telling y'all. That's what I said. I said the same thing. I told you the difference. I said the attitude is the difference. I can clearly see the difference. But no. But listen. But hold up. The only thing I'm saying is listen. The difference was the speed of the information that was given to us. Now I would never say that because I thought your question was there's two people that comes from the same community, same school structure. One student makes $1 million, and the other student that got the same information is only making $50,000 a year. Now, I can say that's personal choice. Which careers they may go, motivation, what instill, because you have to go with the individual, because education is still limited. Listen, you can educate me all you want and put all the curriculum in me you want. You can tell me all about my history you want, but at the end of the day, it's up to me what I want to do within
Michael,
the individual.
Now, Mike, I understand what you're saying. Now, that's true. But at the end of the day, as a whole, I just saying, from me to you, but as a whole, you know, with the whole people, you have to look at the fact that most of the kids that have a $50,000 a year income, they being taught that, okay, you can get things, but there is a limit. That kid with $1 million income, parents with $1 million income, is taught that there are no limits to what you can do.
All right. But now I'm going to ask you, Vernon, man to man, are they happy with this happening?
And both of them go off to college.
One is happy. Is that $1 million person that got that $1 million account, is he happy in his life? That 50,000 person may be happy.
Yeah, I'm not saying they may not be happy, but I'm saying he's talking about
that has nothing to do with it.
Yeah,
what you mean? What we talk about every day. We try to forget all the money, the clothes.
Michael,
we try to talk about relationship problems,
Michael,
so we won't go through our chaos.
Listen,
that
Michael,
has a lot to do with that's the end of the point.
Listen,
my
Michael,
question is that kid that made parents that got that $1 million and then they put them through school, and that kid that had that $50,000 and they put them through school, and once they finish and they come up for that same job and they both get it. And the one with $50,000 can do the better job than the one that had $1 million. So,
wait a minute. Hold up. Everybody just wait. Wait. May.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Now, what I was about to say was, look, what you have to look at, that kid with the $50,000, yes, he's going to get a pretty good education. But the one who parents make that $1 million a year, they're going to get taught how to invest their money, how to make it make money for them. And, they probably spend a bit of it, but they are going to be taught a whole lot of different things than just the basic ABC and so forth and so on. That's what you have to understand. They are taught how to keep that money. They're taught how to keep that money, not just spend it.
You got it right. But you have to realize,
that's
in our country, the NSA guy, he didn't have a high school diploma. But, we have to put other factors in our society. I was in college, and the teacher asked the question. Listen, the teacher asked the class the questions. He said, what are the misnamers of being successful? What are some do's and don'ts where people be lying and say in order to achieve success? And I raised my hand and I say, I think it's a lie. It's not what you know, it's who you know. I'm thinking is that you got to go to school because a lot of people just go. And he said, oh, that's not right. He said, how I got my job. He said, it's because of who I knew. So sometimes we can sit up here and talk about all the education we want, and then society and people say, guess what? They hook up their friends. And you can
it's
have
about
a good job.
It's about
exactly.
The whole point in me bringing that up is
it's about the curriculum. There's a direct correlation
between money and education. There's a direct correlation between money and education.
Well, no, sometimes it's who you know, too.
No, if you got money, you know the right people.
That's why the guy was telling you about the book about Rich Dad Poor Dad. If you read it, you understand. It was about money.
The library takes money. The library card takes money. What do you mean? You can learn anything you want in the library. The computer, like you always say, intricate knowledge is right there.
That's not what I'm saying, Alfax. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying.
Michael?
Go ahead. Go ahead, Mr.
Education.
Right, hold up. All right, look, I'm 35 minutes over, so we're going to slowly go on and close the show up, but y'all get your last word, so I know y'all got some doozies. So we're going to start at the top. We're going to start with Vernon. Vernon, my bad. I hit the wrong button. Go ahead, Vernon, your last word, sir.
Hey, man, good show. First, I want to say, Mike, man, I'm glad to have you back on the show. I'm glad to be back on the show and the way you doing things now, you know, you listening more. I like. Hey, Mike, I like that, man. But you know, it's a big difference in, you know, a kid is making $1 million. His parents are making, you know, $1 million cleared, and a kid, his parents are making $50,000 cleared. For one, a kid is making parents. That are making $50,000 a year, that kid is taught that there's no room for error. He got pressure on him. This kid has pressure on him from a youth. You have no choice. You do not have the chance to make any mistakes in this thing. As a kid that's making $1 million a year, parents that are making clear $1 million a year, they have the option of making mistakes. And like I said, they learn in totally different things. It's a mind frame thing. They have no pressure on them when it comes to what they want or what they're trying to do. They can't relate. They cannot relate to a person that is at a $50,000 a year wage. There's a total difference in that. Like I said, yeah, we're gonna learn the basics, the same basics. You know, we're gonna know that 1 + 1 = 2, and you know the alphabet and all that different stuff. But the bottom line is, as we grow older in this education thing, there is a complete, total mind frame, whether you like it or not. I'm done. Let's talk. Great show, man. Hey, y'all have a good weekend. I'll see y'all Monday.
All right, man. Have a good one. Enjoy your weekend, Vernon. All right, Maze, you up.
Every rich man didn't start off rich. Some of them started off poor and became rich. And every poor man will teach a rich man how to keep his money.
Okay.
And read rich man, rich dad, poor dad, and see which one came out with the money. That's all I got to say.
All righty. Thank you, ma'am. Have a great weekend as well. All right, Mr. All Facts, you up.
Yeah, well, first, Mr. Tuck, you know me. Yeah, Mr. Tuck, can you hear me? Mr. Tuck.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Mr. Tuck. Yeah, I you know me. I'm
yes,
being myself.
Michael.
You know I was on that borderline today with that stun gun. But listen, look, I'm being serious. I appreciate your show. Great topic today. But I would like to, offer you to have a show about the question I wanted to ask him about restoration and forgiveness. And I would definitely, you know, call in and I want to talk about that. So, you can take your time to research it and what have you and just let me know. But I think that's a real good topic that we should talk about that because I, you know, think it's a little gray area there. But I appreciate your topic. I appreciate, talking about you guys, you know, dialoguing with you guys today about education, the curriculum, and, all of our, our situations that we're dealing with in life right now. So I appreciate, you having me back, Mr. Talk. So you guys have a nice one now.
All right, you too, Mike. Enjoy your weekend.
All right, then.
All right, Knowledge, you have the last say.
I'd just like to say, Mr. Talk, as always, you know how to push those buttons, and we need to get you on TV and do some extra stuff, get you sponsored or whatever the case may be, so you ain't got to worry about money no more. But
In regards to education, mm-hmm. I've worked in the educational field
mm-hmm.
From the time I was in high school through college, through all of it. So I've seen it all. Now, I haven't seen it all, but I like to say that I've seen it all. And with that being said, I agree with Vernon. It's a situation, anytime you talk about education, you have to talk about money because it's not an equal playing field. When you have money, you're educated differently than people who don't have money. And for people who think that it doesn't matter what money you have, they don't understand how the educational process works. Okay? A kid in the ghetto is not being educated the same way a kid who's growing up in a family where they have disposable income upwards of $1 million or more. It's completely different. And with that being said, that's it. You have a wonderful weekend. I love your show. I always like being on your show. I miss Joe today. He wasn't there. Maybe he's rounding up the sheep for slaughter. Who knows? But anyway.
Yeah.
All right. Good weekend, my man. As always, right. You're on point. You do a wonderful job, and I got nothing but respect for you.
All right, thank you, Knowledge, and back at you, brother, back at you. All right, y'all. Oh, boy, I tell you, another good show, another great show here on Let's Talk today. And Freedom Friday, I'm telling you, and Freedom, see what the Freedom brought in? Some of everything. We want to give a special shout-out to Thomas Bryant. Hey, we appreciate you, brother. Thank you for coming. He's doing great things, y'all. Make sure you go on YouTube and just type in, and you can see the video, Fall on My Knees by Thomas Bryant. And trust me, man, once you see that video, it's going to make, man, it's going to just put some chills on you. I'm telling you, especially if you're a veteran, because he's doing, you know, doing it for veterans and things like that. So y'all go ahead and check it out. It's really nice. It's nice. And the song is hot. Oh, you know, the song is banging, man. I'm telling you, I liked it. That's why I had to play it two times. I'm going to play it one more before we get up out of here. That's right. Anyway, I want to thank everybody who joined us today for the show. You know, East Coast, Benny, GGT183, All Facts, Knowledge, Vernon, Pianki, those listening on your different devices, Maze. You know, thank you once again. As I always say, without y'all, I wouldn't have no show. So I do appreciate your support. I really do. All right, y'all. Well, we're going to get up out of here. Just remember, have a great weekend. Get out and do something. You know what I mean? If it's just walk to the end of the driveway and back, you know, get some fresh air. All right? Just remember, keep smiling, show appreciation, and forgive with an open heart. And remember, if you haven't forgiven yourself, there's no way you can forgive anyone else. All right, y'all. Until Monday, y'all be good. I'm out.
I, Thomas Bryant, do solemnly affirm that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, and that I will obey the orders of the President of the United States and the orders of the Office of Foreign Affairs, according to the regulations, uniform code of military justice. To a sacrifice.